following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
This is Central Nebraska's most listened to all sports radio station.
We always parade winners around here.
From 1460 KXPN and 1550 KICS, you're listening to Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
For any of you who have listened in the past, you know that I am not a radio-trained personality, so we are just going by the seat of our pants.
It's time for the Tri-Cities' number one sports show. You're listening to the Doug and Daddy Show.
Victoria and Zaretska, you know, these Russians, they need to buy a vowel. Let me just say that. They need to buy a vowel with that first name.
Now coming to you live from the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Need a vehicle? Think Midway.com.
No. I don't think that's just it's minor. It's just a minor sin. It's a minor one. Well, I'm coming to you then for some of the major ones.
It's time for the Doug and Daddy Show.
Everyone, welcome to a Monday edition of the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Doug Duda, Jim Langan with you on today's program. Bo Pelini, weekly press conference. We'll have that coming your way, so stay with us for that. We've also got a lot of recapping to do from the weekend in sports. Jimmy, I've been looking. I've been looking on the Facebook. I've been looking on the emails. I've been looking on the tweets. You know, I just haven't had a good Dallas Cowboys joke in a few weeks. What's going on? Where are they at? What happened?
Hey, I'll tell you what. You know, Doug, I mean, there's some really good things that are going on right now. You're a huge Cowboy fan, and you know which team I like better than anybody else. I mean, you know, I mean, and we're not talking, I'm just talking all sports. And, you know, the Royals go 2-0 at Baltimore. Baltimore, June 27th and 28th, or the 28th and 29th, was the last time they lost back-to-back home games. And then the Cowboys, you know, I mean, Doug, I'm going to be honest. I watched, I'm going to say, 98% of that game, you know, because yeah. I flipped over to something else just for a second or two. But the Cowboys outplayed them even more than the score indicated. I mean, we're not talking about they just got a couple fumbles here and you know, Seattle was driving and had a couple bad things happen. The Cowboys outplayed Seattle and deserved to win and almost did not win, you know, because of some things that happened down the stretch. But the Dallas Cowboys right now, and I, you know, and there's about four other teams, you know, Denver's playing well. You know, I still like the Arizona Cardinals a little bit. I think the way they're playing okay. The Chargers are finding a way to get it done and win. But hey, the Dallas Cowboys have got to be the surprise team because of who they've beaten so far. You know, not because of their record, but who they've beaten.
And how they're doing it.
Yes.
You know, the Giants and the Cowboys are getting thrown under the bus for their defense coming into week one. Well, I still don't know what's up with the Giants because if they go 0-16, that's fine with me. But the way they played last night, my goodness. Philadelphia, supposedly the worst pass defense in the league, and Eli Manning, 0 points. Okay. I was still thinking, like a lot of the folks after a couple of weeks, really like Cincinnati. I don't know what to think after the tie yesterday. They should have won the ball game. They missed a 36-yard field goal. But even if they win the ball game, that doesn't make them great. But you're right. I am nowhere close to saying that Dallas is the best team in the league, but they sure aren't in the bottom third. They're sure not in the bottom half. They're definitely in the top 10 right now.
You know, another team that's really hard to figure out, you guys, Tampa Bay Buccaneers have played four consecutive games, and they played two really nice football games. I mean, competed well in the NFL, thought, hey, this team might turn it around, and then the two games they've lost. I mean, it is like, whoa, this would remind you of a high school eight-man team. You know, they just is completely mismatched.
Well, that's another thing. There are so many, and I know Mike and Michael talk more about it over the next couple of days and all of the national people, teams you can't figure out. Scott Van Pelt does that every week. He goes, there's five teams that I can't tell you win, lose, good, bad. After yesterday, it really, really stirs the pot, and I think you can go down the list. Now, I think the Colts, let's not forget about them on Thursday, and Houston, I think they're both pretty good football teams. If Houston had a quarterback, I think they'd be a really good football team. I think Baltimore is a very good football team. But you look at yesterday, what do you think about Denver? They had that game put away, and then they have a chance to get tied. The Jets have a chance to tie it, pick six. What do you think it was like in Vegas yesterday when Denver pick sixes and Arizona pick sixes to win the game when they're a play away from kneeling down the football? I mean, that covered the spread. It made a difference. And you know, with both of them being the favorites, it had to hurt Vegas, and it had to hurt them big on that Denver game because everybody's in love with Denver.
Yeah, it hurt. And, you know, the thing of it is people have a tendency, a poor gambler does this, but they catch up and they have to do it like that weekend. You know what I mean? If you wait long enough in 365 days, you'll find something you like. You know, who's playing next? Hawaii? Yeah, well, who do you like here? You know, because you're in a desperate
mode.
How'd
that game come out anyway?
I don't even know.
Hawaii, Wyoming. How'd that come out?
How did that come out? We'll have to find out. Jeff, we got to look that thing up.
By the way, I don't want to forget off the top of the show, the kickoff time for the Rutgers game on the 25th has been announced. We've had all these night games. You knew it was going to happen. 11 a.m. Rutgers at Nebraska, 11 a.m. It will be on one of the ESPN networks, kind of depending on how the games fall this weekend. But getting back to the pros, and we'd love to hear your intake and your input, 888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. You can tweet us at ESPN 1460 1550, at ESPN 1460 1550, and you can, as always, from day one, email the Dent Popper inbox, Doug and Daddy, at ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Evidently, Wyoming fell asleep once the clock turned midnight. Hawaii scores 14 points in the fourth quarter and beat Wyoming 38-28. Wyoming was up 21-10 at the half and got outscored 28-7 in the second half, so they got tired. Here comes from John. Okay, here's your Cowboy bash. Don't be like Denver and win almost all your regular season games and then get housed in the Super Bowl. Don't worry, we won't.
Let's get to the playoffs. You know, let's get Dallas in the playoffs.
There are so many head scratchers out there. I'm with you on Arizona, but that's a team we liked at the beginning of the year. Okay, so where are we at on Seattle? I think they bounce back. I think they're going to be fine. I think they win the division. Chicago, Atlanta. We mentioned Friday. That's a game we're going to find out about both teams. I think I found out that neither team's really good. And if Chicago didn't have Matt Forte, they'd be bad. Again. That was supposed to be a high-scoring shootout. Matt Ryan at home, where were you? Where were you? San Diego's, I still think they're good, so they barely beat Oakland at Oakland. Oakland was rallying the troops coming off a bye week. Let's not forget that. Cleveland, a lot of people need to be talking about the Browns, and Pittsburgh's not good, and we knew that at the beginning of the season, but they got a nice win in there, and Pittsburgh's not a good football team. They've got some weapons, and they're just not a good football team.
Yeah, you know, when I look at some of the NFL teams, you know, there's like, and you made a good point when you talked about going into thirds. I kind of like that. I mean, you just said it to me. That's the first time I've ever heard it. But, you know, the top third, the next third, and the next third. And there are some teams that are definitely in that bottom third. I mean, the bottom third, I mean, the Minnesota Vikings have got to be in the bottom third. I mean, anybody that thinks that they're above that, you know, then you know they're not facing reality. That's a team when you look at and they're on your schedule, you're going, hey, this might be a game. You know, we could probably win this even if we don't have our best effort. And I think the Raiders might be in that same boat. You know what I mean? Even though they did play San Diego, like you talked about, they had that night, but they're in that bottom third. And I think the thing of it is there's some teams in that middle third. Can they make that move to go up? Or are they going to go down? And we're going to find this out in about 3 weeks.
That's your Atlanta, Chicago.
Yeah, that's right.
There.
Yeah.
I think they're in the half. If you drew a line at half, they're right there in that number 14, 15, 16 range. Jacksonville, he can't win that yesterday. Well, what are you going to do? Come on, Jacksonville. Miami, they let one get away to Green Bay. Miami's a better football team. And Green Bay won that football game. So I think we've touched on just about all of them. And tonight, Jimmy, let's be honest. San Francisco at St. Louis. The Sharps are going to be all over St. Louis. Low spread at home. Everybody's going to go, wow. Oh, San Francisco's only favored by a field goal. Here, oh, college kid. Woohoo! 49ers!
Yeah.
Ain't happening. It might happen.
Uh-huh.
Took him in one of my pick fives, but that probably wasn't very smart.
You know, I think they play pretty good defense. You know, then they've got a lot of tackles for losses. You know, there's some defenses out there that are, you know, they talk about the offenses that are, you know, get long plays, and there's some defenses that can do the same thing. You know, they can get a lot of losses and get you in a bad situation, because I don't care who you are, when it's second down and 15, it puts you in a bad position, you know, to get things done.
Kaepernick's going to have to do what Russell Wilson did last week. He's going to have to be able to scramble, maybe get some yards with his legs for what St. Louis does with their defense. We're going to take a break on the Doug and Daddy Show. UNK gets a win. Morningside's really good in football. Volleyball, huh. John Cook's press conference is going on right now. That's a loss yesterday that the program has not experienced in a long, long time. They were not only beaten by an unranked team, but they were swept by an unranked team. And I don't care if it's on the road. There are some things going on with the Nebraska volleyball program, and if you didn't know that already, I think you're going to know it now. They've got a lot of growing to do, because you could sense early in the year John Cook's not going to throw players under the bus, but you don't have to be a genius to see that there are some players that have not done their job. It might be a painful year for Nebraska volleyball, and by painful, I mean not hosting. They're all pointing towards next year when the Final Four is in Omaha. It could be a short postseason for Nebraska volleyball. We'll take a break. Be back with more after this.
A few years ago, we decided as a company to drop the big franchise name so that we could invest the franchise dollars locally in the good things Kearney has to offer. And in that, I mean the people and what we do for each other. This is Tim Norwood with NP Realty.
NP Realty invites you to support 22 local agencies by giving to the Kearney Area United Way annual campaign. It only takes one person to change a life. Be the one.
NP Realty, developing dreams.
Comforting guidance when you need it most.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
Dedicated, trusted, and compassionate service.
Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl.
We listen to you.
We are here for you.
And we help ease a difficult time.
Our family serving your family for generations. Please call, stop by, or go online. Horner, Liske, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services.
Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, getting you back in the game of life. With two locations in Kearney, the Ortho Clinic at the Kearney Clinic and the Rehab Clinic at the ENT Building. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center, excellence in rehabilitation. A very proud supporter of the area athletes in and out of the game. Locations serving Kearney, Lexington, Minden, Ravenna, and Wood River. Family Physical Therapy and Sports Center.
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney.
Health insurance is changing. You have new options. But which one is right for you? As authorized independent agents for Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska, Farm Bureau Financial Service agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers know health insurance and can help you understand your options and the differences between them. Contact Rich Peters and Matt Myers and see how they can simplify the process and help you select the right health insurance policy for you and your family. Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Nebraska is an independent licensee of the Blue Cross and Blue Shield Association. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC, affiliate Farm Bureau Financial Services.
A wind advisory is in effect for our area today as we'll see clearing skies across the area as north-northwest winds stay gusting around 30 to 40. For tonight, with mainly clear skies, we'll head down to 38 for a low. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 50.
Come on, feel the noise. Girls, rock your voice.
Back and Danny in the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth. Must be state golf or something going on today with this wind. Good luck, gals. Class A is at Norfolk, Class B is in Lincoln at Pioneers, and Class C is at Columbus. So hopefully you're not trying to follow more than one team or one kid out there. But best of luck. Kearney High is there as a team in A. Northwest Holdridge among those that are there in the Class B, along with Aurora. And in Class C, Minden, Kearney Catholic, Cozad, Grand Island, Central Catholic are there as well. If you would like to be somewhere with a great team, a great job, and potentially a great career, Midway Auto Dealerships are expanding, they're growing, and they are in need of more motivated and enthusiastic individuals. And we're not talking just salespeople, folks. A lot of times you get pigeonholed with when you're thinking working at a car dealership, you're thinking about being a salesman. No, product specialists, customer service reps, technicians, they need many more people to join their team as they continue to grow and take care of not only our area, but all of Nebraska, with many of their vehicles going out of state as well. So they need your help. And you can check out the benefits. You can check out the full list of jobs. You can even apply online at MidwayCareers.com. MidwayCareers.com. Midway Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac. South 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Well, UNK. Bronson Marsh, he ran all over Northeastern State on Saturday, and congratulations to the Lopers. 34-7 the win. Lindenwood is 1-5. They come in Saturday, a chance for the Lopers to get two in a row.
That's correct. Hey, you know, that Kojal kid from Sargent, I heard, I talked to the trainer at UNK, and he told me he's like leading the nation in tackles. You know, I don't know, I didn't even know that, but he said, hey, he's right in that area, you know, where they have tackle leaders, national tackle leaders. And I'll tell you what, he was a great high school football player. Dad was always very helpful to me in what I always called him like every week and go, here's what they do, what do I do? And he'd give me about two or three plays, and they always worked a lot better than the ones I had. But having a great career at UNK, and I'm happy for him too, because he works really hard on that defensive side of the ball.
Good kid too. 10th straight game that he's had double-digit tackles. He had 10 again on Saturday, which is like low for him, but good for Tyke. And it's just been announced that the MIAA Offensive Football Player of the Week is Bronson Marsh. He had one of the best rushing days in UNK history, 21 carries, 242 yards, 4 touchdowns, the second best rushing day by a Loper quarterback, the 6th highest single game total. He also completed 50% of his passes and had completions to 5 different players. So congratulations, Bronson Marsh. He is the MIAA Offensive Football Player of the Week. Don't forget Bo Pelini's press conference coming up. We'll have it here for you on the Doug and Daddy Show. Hastings College, I don't know. You're going to be displeased when you get beat 76-14, but when you look on the schedule and everybody's getting beat about that bad, you look and you go, God, they got beat 76-14. What are they, 0-8? No, they're 3-3 with two games that they lost in the last minute. This is a 5-1 football team that got beat 76-14. So Morningside, do you look to move on to the next level, or what do you do? It doesn't look like anybody's going to touch these guys.
Yeah, they must have a tremendous team. You know, and Doug, I haven't seen them. Of course, they're not on TV, you know, to watch. And you'd have to drive to go watch a game. But
well,
you know,
could have drove to Hastings.
Yes,
Saturday.
But, you know, they do. Yeah, I could have. But they have just looking at their scores, the way they just dominate people and how they're getting it done.
It's pretty amazing. We'll talk with both the coaches, Tony Harper of Hastings and Daryl Morris of UNK tomorrow. Honestly, I'm going to have to stay on this because it will play itself out, but after watching the SEC this weekend, why do people think they're stronger when they actually became weaker?
Well, the one thing, let's be fair about this. Let's really do. Mississippi and Mississippi State have not done anything wrong. That what they've done is they've just gone out and taken care of business. Mm-hmm. So what they've done, I think for sure what we need to do is we make sure that you give them credit for what they've done. Because if they'd have lost to Alabama, if, you know, Mississippi State would have lost to LSU, then everybody's going to be telling you about how strong this conference is. Doug, do you agree with what I'm saying there a little bit or not?
Well, when there's transition in the conference, everybody go, ooh, wow, you're beating great teams. Well, Alabama's not a great team this year.
No, they're
right?
not.
Right?
And they are not, Doug. We've said this on the show, I mean, numerous times, that this team, we said it last week when I talked to the guys, that, hey, you know, beating Alabama is not the same thing as beating Alabama in previous years. You know, they could have lost that game real easy. I mean, a block extra point here. They maybe even got outplayed a little bit at times in that football game. They win 14-13, I think, was the final in that game. But
shouldn't have won.
Right.
Special teams.
Right. But, you know, I'm going to tell you right now, the Southeast Conference, unfortunately, other than Florida State in this Notre Dame game that's going to be coming up. You know, Florida State's playing Notre Dame. The winner of the Florida State-Notre Dame game, whoever wins that game, is going to have a pretty good chance to have one of those four slots. Now, they got to win out, but there is no way they're not going to let that team have one of the slots if they win out.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but there are other teams that need help now. You're looking at Oklahoma needs help. They can't. I don't know if they win out if they get in even. Well, you know, they got to have some people get beat.
How do you look at Baylor? They won. They shouldn't have won. Horrible call at the end. But when you score 61-58, you can't hang it on one call. So Baylor, they think right now, will run the table because of what's behind them. You've got the only team that can go undefeated and not get in is Marshall.
Correct.
Okay? So you've only got five teams left. Mississippi and Mississippi State play each other. They won't be undefeated when they face each other. If they are, all we'll hear about that whole short week, because it's Thanksgiving, all we'll hear about is if the loser could get in to the Final Four. That's all we'll hear about is if the loser of the Mississippi State game, and they'll be defending, oh, they should. And if they get to that point, I'll have to give you kudos. If they're both undefeated when they play the Egg Bowl, then that's fine. The Notre Dame-Florida State winner probably should be ranked number one. Don't overlook Notre Dame. Just because Notre Dame they gave up a lot of points and they won by seven to a North Carolina team that got destroyed by East Carolina. What do you think Notre Dame's looking at? They're kids. They're young men. They're not looking at North Carolina. They're looking at beating who was number one last week in Florida State. That's going to be a pretty good football game.
Yeah, and you know, really, there's some great games all over. Like you talked about, Baylor-Oklahoma, great football game coming up. Florida State-Notre Dame. Florida State probably will run the table. If they have Florida left, but I think they'll beat Florida. But they'll probably run the table if they beat Notre Dame. You know, they'll probably run it. Like you said, we got that Oklahoma-Baylor. Oregon still isn't out of this thing, but they've got to get some help. And they have to win. They, of course, have to win out and then win the conference game. I'm looking at Georgia maybe made a little statement back, getting back into this thing after their win at Missouri. You know, they need to win out, of course, you know, and to get in. But and then, you know, the other possibility is whoever wins this Michigan State, Ohio State, Nebraska, whoever wins the Big Ten, they might get a chance. Somebody might get in there, one of those.
Well, of course, ESPN, Fox, whoever, they have all these analysts, and every week, who's in your top four? Who's in your top four? Who's in your top four? Well, one of the segments I saw, Robert Smith and Butch Davis, who I think can bring some perspective as an ex-coach, not at the only NFL, but college level as well. But you look at Butch Davis, and they have the same top three. They put Mississippi State, and Florida State in there. And then they differed on the first four. Robert Smith went with Baylor, and he even had to bite his lip to do that because he knew what they had come off of with TCU. Butch Davis put Michigan State in there. And he said, I know I'll catch some flack about this, but he goes, that's my number four team. And he's got them in there above Notre Dame, above Alabama, above. The problem is you can't. I mean, there's four SEC teams in the top seven. Give me a break, you know. It just isn't. It isn't. That you're going off history. This year, it isn't that way. And it may change. It may change. But no more than two will be in that top five when it comes to that time. So Michigan State, I think, is interesting. But I think you're going to get a Mississippi team. You're going to get the winner of the Florida State-Baylor game, Michigan, the Big Ten champion, and then maybe Georgia. It probably will be two SEC teams in there unless the SEC championship game has the right matchup and knocks one of them out as a kind of a pre-playoff game.
Yeah. Oregon, the only way Oregon gets in is if the Southeastern Conference has enough teams with two losses. I don't think Oregon's going to get in on that. But I do think the Baylor-Oklahoma game is a little interesting, and we'll see how those teams play out. But, you know, there's no penalty to not have a conference turn. I mean, the game, you know, there at the end of the season. And so that'll be really interesting. And TCU beat Oklahoma. I mean, that's just the way it was. I mean, that was Oregon beat Michigan State. Arizona beat Oregon. You know, you can't overlook those things. You know?
I think if Oregon runs the table, they're in.
Right.
You know, I think they are.
I think you're right, Doug. And the other thing with Mississippi State is, if you look at their scores, Mississippi State is not. If Mississippi State was somebody else, if they had a different name beside it, if they said Alabama instead of Mississippi State, they'd be getting every vote, be ranked number one, all 68 votes or 286 votes or whatever they get.
You're right.
You know, but what they haven't done anything wrong. I mean, in fact, they've dominated games.
Well, good for them.
You're not happy with that, or I can't.
No,
tell.
I'm fine. I'm
okay,
fine.
Good.
I'm fine with that. Somebody's got to be number one. Somebody's going to be 6-0. They beat two teams.
Who did they beat?
They beat two teams.
Which two?
Auburn and Alabama.
Tell me who else has done that lately.
Well, but Alabama's not that good. Hell, Arkansas just about beat them. I'm just saying, if Arkansas beats Alabama, you're one of the worst teams in the SEC. Now, that's taking it to the next level. I'm exaggerating, of course, but you are.
I just think if you beat Auburn and Alabama, and you look at their schedule, and they've only got one loss, both of them, and you happen to give them to them, I think it would be really hard for me to not vote them number one. I think they deserve it.
I still like Auburn and Georgia. Nebraska volleyball, we talked about UNK, two wins over the weekend, and they will take on Washburn tomorrow night at the Health and Sports Center. Washburn last week was ranked sixth in the country. The new polls will come out today. Hastings College, man, they were on a roll. They go to Nebraska Wesleyan, and for the second time, Wesleyan beats them in 5 sets, and it's 16-14 in the fifth. You can't be any obvious closer than that than going extra points in the fifth. They'll be back at home against Concordia on Wednesday. Team USA wins their first World Championship gold medal in women's volleyball. And the United States had three Huskers, former Huskers, in Kelsey Robinson, Jordan Larson, and Kayla Banworth on the team. High school volleyball, Concordia wins the Centennial Conference tournament over the weekend. They beat Hastings St. Cecilia in the final. Grand Island Central Catholic had to play Columbus Scotus in the quarters. That's the 4-5 matchup. Take that to the bank, folks. That's a state matchup. They play in the quarters. And Central Catholic beat them in a tight 3-setter, and they end up finishing third. So congratulations to those programs. Just a prelude of what you're going to see when they get to the state tournament. Luplat Conference tournament gets underway tonight. You'll be able to hear it live on Classic Hits 98.9 from Cope Gymnasium. Donovan Trumbull plays Ravenna at 6. Then the winner will play Kearney Catholic. At Centura tonight, Adams Central will play Gibbon. The winner plays Centura. And the two quarterfinal games in Ord tonight, St. Paul will play Arcadia Loup City, followed by Ord and Wood River. Tuesday and Thursday semifinals and finals will be at Adams Central, also on Classic Hits. Fort Kearney Conference, Axtell will host. They're the number one seed. Loomis plays SEM. The winner plays Axtell. In between, Elm Creek will play Eustis Farnham. Amherst is the number two seed. Overton will play Pleasanton. The winner gets Amherst. In between, Wilcox Hildreth takes on Elwood. They play the best 2 of 3 in the Fort Kearney Conference. They play the best 3 out of 5 in the Luplat Conference. In that tournament as well. Twin Valley Brackets, they came out today as well. They get things underway on Saturday. Shelton will play Harvard in the play-in game. The winner will then take on number one Lawrence Nelson. Red Cloud plays Deschler. Blue Hill plays Kennesaw. And Silver Lake will play Franklin. And then the championships will be held at Kennesaw next Monday, 1 week from tonight. State golf, as we mentioned, is underway. The state softball tournament will get underway in Hastings on Wednesday. And not a whole lot of area teams are competing. Class C will have the 9 a.m. games. Central City will play the top seed, Wayne. Gothenburg is the 2 seed. They'll play Wahoo. Raymond Central will take on Guardian Angels. And Southern will take on Ashland Greenwood. Class A will get underway at 11:30. Millard South against Millard North. Millard West against Papillion-La Vista South. Omaha Marion against Lincoln North Star. And Papillion-La Vista against Lincoln Southwest. Jimmy, you've been on the board, and you know that sometimes I think that Class A gets some unfair advantages. Class A, let's just play the softball in Omaha or Lincoln. There's no need for them to all be traveling to Hastings. There's no teams out here. Get your fans, get on some fields that are nice, probably not as nice, but that are nice, and let's just let the Class A schools play closer to home. No?
Well, maybe you're probably right, Doug. I mean, you know, they go through this and they're trying to move things, and people say, hey, you know, the Hastings says, we want to have this tournament. We want to have it here. We want to host it. We've got this much money. We need people to stay in motels. We need people to buy food and do some other things. So when they make that, when they put their money out there, just like what you're saying about Nebraska and the volleyball, hey, they kind of changed it on them, or they don't want to change it on Hastings. But you are right as far as mileage goes and stuff like that. You know, it'd been nice if they just had the thing in Omaha.
Yeah, I think. Hastings, they will have to stay overnight.
But they're not going to be bringing – this isn't a lot of the other major sports.
It's not a lot of fans. Nope, a lot of moms and dads.
Class B will get underway at 2 o'clock on Wednesday. Elkhorn against McCook, Blair against Beatrice, Elkhorn South against Ralston, and York against Gretna. Tri-City Storm 1-1 over the weekend. They won 4-0, looked great on Friday, dropped the 2-1 decision on Saturday with two power play goals in the third period to Chicago. They are home against Green Bay this weekend. UNK Soccer finally got back in the win column with a victory yesterday by a score of 2-1. Hastings Soccer, men and women both beat Dort. One other thing. How about this? Again, you don't know these guys. You've probably never seen them play. We were talking a little bit about the small college national championships, kind of an invite-only tennis deal. Well, UNK's Lucas Garcias and Joey Richards, they finish as the runner-up. They beat nationally ranked teams. They beat the number one team on the very first match, UNK's final event of the fall. So congratulations to those two for going out and carrying the Loper banner proud. There you go. We'll take a break. Bo Pelini coming up after this.
Hi, Sean Callahan here. I'm excited to tell you about a company I'm working with that will finally bring you the internet experience you've been waiting for. I'm talking about a company that is so reliable, so dependable, and has such amazing local customer service that you'll be wondering why people haven't done business like this before. Prairie iNet Fixed Wireless Internet will change the way you experience your world. Let's talk about their amazing technology. They have the largest fixed wireless network in the U.S., and because of this, they can pass their savings on to you. That means finally having reliable internet at a price you can afford. Another perk, no contracts. With Prairie iNet, you won't sign a contract ever. I've personally met the people at Prairie iNet. You can trust that you'll be getting a better internet experience, and more importantly, you can trust them. Mention my name, Sean Callahan, and you'll get a $100 Visa gift card and free installation for just signing up. Call Prairie iNet right now at 308-221-7844. That's 308-221-7844.
United, we transform lives. It's more than just a slogan. To many in our community, it means the difference between healthcare, financial stability, and education. Through United Way's community programs, over 24,000 lives will be touched by your donations. The funds raised through the annual United Way campaign will help support 41 programs right here in South Central Nebraska. Please find it in your heart to donate to this year's campaign. For more details, log on to UnitedWaySCNE.org or call 461-8412. Give, advocate, volunteer.
Hi, this is Ron Wall with Cargill Ag Horizons Marketing Services, better known as CAMS. As a personal marketing manager, I bring Cargill's global knowledge to your home or office by delivering unique insights that can benefit your operation. When you work with CAMS, you have expert marketers working for you so that you can concentrate on the business of farming. To learn more about how our disciplined approach to risk management can benefit your operation, call me at 402-710-1200. Cargill, helping farmers prosper.
To some, winning isn't everything, it's the only thing. Others say it's not whether you win or lose, it's how you play the game. But everyone can agree that the uniforms and equipment you play in make a big difference in how you play and how you win. That's why TM Sporting Goods gives you that winning edge with top name brands and personal service from seasoned pros like Steve Baradol and Tino Martinez. TM Sporting Goods, on the bricks, 2217 Central, downtown Kearney. TM Sporting Goods, a division of Pro Team Design.
On our last episode of As the Wheel Turns, Carl was ending a long-term relationship.
Carl, I've seen how you look at other vehicles.
You just don't look as good as you used to.
That's because you haven't taken me to the Dent Popper. A new spray-on bed liner or bed cover will get people to stare at me. Custom-fit floor mats from WeatherTech will make me feel pretty on the inside.
Avoid the drama with a trip to the Dent Popper, north of the railroad, First Avenue, on the bricks, downtown Kearney.
The Kearney Elks Lodge wants to invite you to come back to the Elks. Did you know you can enjoy Sunday brunch every week at the Elks, featuring made-to-order omelets, pancakes, French toast, bacon, sausage, biscuits and gravy, and so much more. Friday night is steak night at the Elks, serving delicious grilled steaks with your choice of sides from 6 to 8 p.m. Kearney Elks Lodge is located just north of Kearney, inside the clubhouse of Elks Country Golf. How long has it been since you've seen your friends at the Elks? Join us this week for Friday night steak night or Sunday brunch and come back to the Elks.
Doug and Daddy Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Monday, awaiting Bo Pelini to sit behind his table and address the media as they get ready for Northwestern, who lost to Minnesota. How'd we do in Pigskin Pick'em, Jeffrey?
Oh, what? The vault is empty? And we had one of our better weeks? And the vault is empty. 6-4 would have won almost any week this week. I went 6-4 and got third. Jimmy, 7-3, went second. And Powder Blue Royals fan Jeff, he's the winner. 8-2, congratulations. Let's go to Lincoln. Here's Bo Pelini.
Well, it seems like the bye week lasted about 2 months. And we're looking forward to get back on the field. And had a good session yesterday. Gave them a couple days off at the end of the week last week. Had a good session yesterday. Today will be their normal day off, and then we'll get back to work tomorrow. So getting ready for Northwestern. Looking forward to it. So open up for any questions.
Well, the Northwestern games the last 3 years have really been dogfights. What about this matchup that kind of brings out these close games that you've had?
I don't know. I mean, they've been kind of some strange games, to say the least. I mean, we've turned the football over a number of times in a couple of those games. And, you know, it just... I don't know. It just we've shot ourselves in the foot some. They've made some plays, and they're a well-coached football team that plays hard, is very sound in what they do, and they make you earn everything you get, and it's kind of their style. I have a lot of respect for how Coach Fitzgerald does it and how their kids play, and I told our guys, I said, we got to be ready to play. We go up there, it's going to be a heck of a challenge.
How's Santos doing? You expect that he could be available?
Yeah, I think he could. There's a good chance he'll be available.
Last week you said you felt good about Bell and Davey.
Yeah, they're back.
They're on track. And newbie, I guess Marcus.
He's back.
Brandon Riley back, right?
Yes. So I think, you know, the bye, as far as that's concerned, I thought the bye came at a good time for us to get some guys back healthy.
Hey, Bill, can you walk us through the philosophical and schematic changes you made, the punt return team, because the differences are so dramatic from last year. You have 2 touchdowns, and you're in the top 10 nationally in punt return yardage. I know you took a personal attention to that. What were the biggest changes that you made philosophically, and why is it so much better?
Well, I think you just said it. It was a philosophical change, And I said this before the year started. A part of it, I was a little bit, you know, with all the shield punt that happens and things that go on, that you got to be, not that we're not sound anymore, but you got to be really sound. And I found myself a year ago very guarded as to not wanting to give up a possession on a fake. So we still have that philosophy. We don't want to give up a possession and let them get something on us. But, you know, I studied a little bit harder in the off season. I believe I handcuffed the way we did things a year ago and studied it in the off season and found some different ways to accomplish the same thing that we were trying to get done, but be more aggressive as far as, number one, going after blocks, number two, being able to give looks, be sound on as far as being able to defend fakes, but also get bodies on bodies and get a chance to get really good holdups and give us a chance, you know, on the back end of things. And, we put some time into it, really studied it, thought about what the best route to go was, and it's worked out for us. And obviously having a guy back there with the way DeMornay does it is, you know, and as aggressive as he is and confident in the way he can make people miss, you know, that's I'm glad we did. It's been really good for us. And, at times you can be your own worst enemy. And I think I was a year ago, and it was me. It wasn't the guys who were coaching that unit. It was more, out thinking myself sometimes and saying, you know, are we going to be able to defend this or defend that? You know, because let's face it, in the shield, it's a different deal. You know, people, if you're not aggressive up front, then it's like having a bunch of gunners on the field. It's hard to get guys blocked. And that's a situation we found ourselves. Plus, at times, we put the ball on the ground. we drop kicks and things like that, which no matter how you look at it, that's going to make you look bad. And you know, we kind of rotated guys through there. I thought Jordan did a good job of fielding the ball last year and doing some good things, but we didn't block real well for him at times. And like I said, that was more me than it was anything else. It was my philosophy, and I was a little way too conservative in my approach last year, and it hurt us.
Pearson all gets a lot of the credit because he's the one that scores the touchdown. But are there other guys on that unit that you think have done a really good job that deserve recognition?
I think they've all done well. I think there's some things, you know, that we, you know, we worked on, that we're working on fundamentally that we can keep getting better at. I think guys are kind of growing into it, but, you know, I think technique wise, we're better. We're getting guys hands on, we're getting bodies on bodies, which at the end of the day, it's hard to make a tackle. It's hard to tackle a guy like DeMornay, if you have somebody on you. It's not about, you know, it's not about knocking somebody out on that. When you're blocking somebody, it's about getting your hands on them and staying with them and covering people up to give the returner a butt to run behind and you know, kind of feel where things are and you know, kind of shield guys off. And also, I think our gunners, for the most part, are our jammers, our guys on the outside. You know, those guys usually are the ones that have the – and that can be our – that can be a number of different guys and how we've schemed it. But, you know, the guys that have the one-on-ones on the outside, you know, when they're free releasing guys, those are the guys that got to win to give you a chance right at the start. And our guys have done a pretty good job at that.
Who have you rotated at that spot, at the jam spot?
Oh, it's been Chris Jones, it's been Kalu. Those have been the main guys. You know, you'll see Jonathan Rose in there some. There are a number of different guys, but those guys have done a pretty good job. And, you know, and at times, you know, we've been able to scheme it, and you know, we with different schemes, you put pressure on different guys, you know, and different guys have less. Certain guys have help in certain schemes, and in other schemes, they're one on one, and you got to win the one on ones. And I think, you know, we've done a pretty good job of scheming it, changing up, and where people don't know where we're coming from, and how we're going to do it from week to week.
What do you guys address the most during the bye week, trying to improve this?
Well, and a lot of fundamental work, a lot of things getting back to the basics, the fundamentals, the really a lot of basics. We did a little bit of things that were we did a lot of good on good, which, you know, you don't when you're game playing and get a lot of opportunity to do you know, you throw that in here and there, but we did a lot of good on good last week and just a little bit of game planning for Northwestern. We gave them an introduction, which I think has helped us, especially helped us as coaches as far as kind of where we want to go with the game plan. But we did a lot of individual work, a lot of, you know, getting back to basics because, you know, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, you look at the things that hurt you, and it's usually – fundamentally, it's usually because your fundamentals suffer for one reason or the other. Your steps, your footwork, your hand placement, all those, the little things, you can get so scheme-oriented, sometimes the fundamentals suffer. And really, I can think that was really the case with what hurt us on the offensive line, or and really in a lot of different areas in the Michigan State game when we didn't execute very well. It was, you know, and I'm not taking anything away from what your opponents do, but a lot of times it's you got to take care of yourself. And if somebody just beats you, whips you, that's good for them. But you can't do it to yourself, and that's what you got to keep guarding against and keep working to get better at to be more consistent.
Did you like the way that your offensive line approached it in practice, kind of doing what you said, looking at the little things and trying to be better step by step?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not, you know. You know, believe me, it wasn't just the offensive line in the Michigan State game, and it wasn't just the same way it isn't just a defensive line or the secondary. It's a team game, and you know, and it's about consistency. It's about consistency. You know, there were big plays to be had in the game, and we didn't execute well enough in a lot of areas. You know, I know everybody wants to focus on, oh wow, the offensive line. You know, but it's. You know, that's just a small part of it. And, you know, to play great, you need 11 guys executing at a certain level on every down. And when you're inconsistent about that, or you have a guy lose focus here, a guy make a bust here, or, you know, it makes everybody look bad. It makes like everybody's not executing, but that's rarely the case.
If you watch film of those guys up front, it wasn't necessarily as bad as maybe it
no.
appeared right after.
You know? No, what I've learned is it's never as bad as you think, and it's never as good as you think. And you watch it, and that's why, you know, that's why this is the ultimate team game. You got to have 11 guys working in concert every play, and that's the way it has always been. And let me tell you, you know, as well as we played in the Miami game, you know, or we talked about in Miami or Illinois, you know, there were plays that, you know, where those things, you know, you get away with things, but you know, there are nights when you don't. And you just got to keep working, you know, whether that's why our approach, whether you win a game, you lose a game, whether you win by 40, you win by one, you get beat by a lot, or you just barely get beat. Your approach can't really change because you're never really the finished product. You got to keep working to get better and get more consistent on a weekly basis.
What do you remember about that game 2 years ago out there with the number of Husker fans there? Impact they made making Northwestern go to a silent count with their offense on the field there late in the game?
It's what you always kind of expect from our fans. I mean, they're going to travel well. They're going to be loud. They're going to be into it. And I thought that was, you know, pretty special out there a couple years ago. And I think if the tickets were available for every game, for every away game, and I think you'd see that every week because that's what our fans are.
What jump have you seen guys like Vincent, Malik, Craig take, even as far as conditioning this year as opposed to last year, where they are taking on a heavy snap count now?
Well, I mean, we've had those guys are playing at a higher level than they did a year ago. They're playing better. They're like you say, they're another year into it. They've been through it before. They're not totally green going out there for the first time, so obviously they're playing at a higher level. They understand what's required of them. Now that we're getting, you know, we're going to get Kevin Williams back. We're getting a little more healthy up front, and so I think you'll see a little bit more of a rotation as the season goes on. But I do think, you know, every game's a little bit different about how many snaps they're getting, how quick the tempo is, all those types of things, what the weather's like, and but, yeah, you know, I think that they are able to handle more snaps just for the sheer fact that they've been through it before. And they're playing at a higher level than they were a year ago.
Excuse me. Film with those guys. I mean, Michigan State game, a lot of those starters pretty much played the whole, the defense line played that entire game. But it didn't seem like their level of play dropped off. Is that a surprise? You know these guys pretty well, but being able to play at a high level for four quarters and not get that much.
Yeah, we didn't have a lot of long, sustained drives, you know, unfortunately in some cases, unfortunately in other cases. But there wasn't, you know, we weren't out there for a long time, and they weren't real gassed at any point during the game. And, yeah, that goes to the testament, too, of they're in pretty good shape. But, you know, like a guy like, you know, for instance, Kevin Williams, who we normally would have played, and he's coming off of an ankle, and the turf was wet, so you know, it's probably not the time to put him back out there, you know, when he's going to be a chance to re-injure himself. And so, you know, every week's a little bit different. And I think we're getting healthier. I think we're getting getting a little more confident as far as being able to sub, you know, more readily when we need to.
How well is McMullen played? I mean, everybody talks about the other guys sometimes, but how well is he played for you this first half?
I think Greg's played well. He's got to keep, you know, at times I think he's got to be more consistent. I think he'd be the first one to tell you that, but I think he's done a lot of good things, but you know, he's a work in progress, as is everybody else. Coming, making some, you know, obviously I thought David was playing really well before he got hurt. And, I thought Roach did some good things the other day. I think Zaire's getting better as the season goes on. Courtney Love is really starting to get better and show, you know, he's, mixing him in some different personnel groupings to get him ready to play. And I think, you know, Bando's getting better. He's getting more confident as the season goes on. So, you know, it's a, I'd say it's a group that's a work in progress. We've seen a lot of different styles of offenses. You know, haven't played a ton of base. So we've been kind of a lot of two linebacker sets and that type of thing. But I think that it's a group that's got to keep improving as the season goes on.
You're listening to Bo Pelini's weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show.
What do you remember about the Hail Mary?
I don't, you know. What did I remember about the Hail Mary? I remember that thinking we shouldn't be in this situation, but we are, and we were very fortunate to come out of it with a win.
Obviously, you missed halfway point, halfway to go. Do you address this? I mean, obviously, the goals of your football team are still in front of you. Do you vocally address that, or do guys know that?
Guys know that, but yeah, I've addressed it. I've talked to them about it, and you know, the reality of it is, it's all out there in front of us. But you know, I don't talk a lot about long-range goals, long-term goals. I mean, that's speaks for itself. I address it a few times during the year, and then move on, because at the end of the day, like I told our guys, it's all out there in front of us, and it's going to be what we're going to get what we earn over the last 6 weeks, and it's got to be about bringing it every single day. There are going to be days we're tired. There are going to be days we're physically tired, mentally tired. The teams that last and the teams that finish best are the teams that are mentally tough. You have to be mentally tough in this game, because you're not always going to feel like doing it. You're not always going to feel good, and because you're going to play as you prepare. And if you prepare well and you're able to be mentally tough enough to approach every single day and get the most out every day to get better each day, you're going to give yourself the best chance to stand up to the challenges that are going to be there, because we're going to get challenged. And if we don't, if we're not mentally tough enough and we give in, we're not going to like the result. It's simple as that. You're going to get what you earn. And the teams that are able to be more mentally tough or able to prepare the way they need to prepare on a daily basis, so the teams are going to be standing at the end. It's as simple as that.
Coach, how much do you like the way Tommy handles not only success, but maybe some setbacks?
Tommy is he's a competitor. He comes to work every day. He's not perfect. He's a work in progress, which any quarterback that's ever played the game at this stage, it is in his second year as a sophomore, they're all a work in progress. But you gotta work to get better each day and learn from your mistakes and not get down on yourself, because there's no one that's ever played the quarterback position that's ever played perfect. It's not gonna happen. And you're gonna have to learn how to grow. You're going to have to be resilient. You're going to have a short memory at times as far as being able to move on from a mistake, but also be strong enough to accept responsibility for that mistake and understand why it happened so you can get better the next time. There's a lot to it, and a lot of it revolves around, as much as things that where you get taxed mentally, it's the being able to apply the physical part and make sure you stay within your fundamentals to keep getting better, because that's ultimately what's going to lead you to getting better. Not only the experience you're getting on the mental side of things and the reps of learning, both good and bad, but being able to apply and stay with your technique every step of the way. And that's a lot. There's a lot to it. That's why it's such a difficult position to play.
Your pass defense, statistically, it's as it is, you're giving up a few big plays. Have guys in position, is there any correlating factors to why teams have been able to go over the top of you a couple times?
Technique. Discipline in playing your technique the right way. Doing it the way you've been coached to do it. And there were a couple of times we've given up a play where the kid just made, like the play that happened against Josh Mitchell a couple of weeks ago. He was right there, and the kid made a great play. And You know, you tip your cap to them. But the times that you don't play with the right leverage, or you don't use your help, or you don't play within the game plan, those are the things that hurt you. I think that kid, the kid from Michigan State, was 11 of 29, and there were a couple. You know, there were a couple of them. One time we got beat on a double move, and we should have stayed on top, but you know, there was a technique error there, and there were a couple of them that shouldn't even have been. It shouldn't have been close. If we would have done it the way they've been coached to do it within that game plan, and so it could have been a lot better. As good as it was, it could have been a lot better.
Evaluate the group then, because that's sort of what
it's growing. We're growing. I think we're growing. We're pretty young back there. We got some young guys playing. We got and let's face it, you know what I don't like is the explosive games. They're going to catch some balls here and there. You know, you're not going to shut people down completely and where they're not going to catch any footballs, but we need to keep getting better and staying with our fundamentals and our technique. And you know, we're best when we're getting our hands on guys and doing it the way we've been, and that comes down to footwork, to hand placement, to patience, and trusting what we're asking them to do, trusting the scheme. You know, when you get out there and the bullets are flying, you know, staying with the way you're being coached to do it. If you're asked to play a certain type of leverage or play a certain way, play it that way. And, you know, don't let fatigue or mental fatigue, physical fatigue, or anything else come into play. You got to do it the way you're being coached to do it, and trust the scheme, and you know, that some of that comes with experience, and like I said, some of it is about being mentally tough and communication. There's a lot of things that come into play as far as allowing that to happen.
At corner after Davey's injury, did you like, as a young guy, how he responded to that setting?
Yes, I thought that Josh is a competitor, and I wish it wouldn't have come to that, because he didn't practice a lot of corner during the week, but it came to that because we didn't practice very well. The guys who could have gone in didn't put it on film during the week in practice. And that was my message to him. If you don't put it on the film during the week in practice, I'm not going to put you out there. And so, you know, at the end of the day, like I said, the responsibility comes, you know, that during the week to prepare a certain way. And that's why it doesn't matter whether you're a starter, you're a backup, where you are on the depth chart, you have to get yourself ready to play. And that means being able to put it on film during the week. So when we watch a film on Tuesday night, Wednesday night, Thursday night, that we have confidence that you're going to be able to go out there and execute our game plan. And so that responsibility goes up and down the roster. And it's up to us as coaches to make sure we get guys ready to play.
And trusting the scheme. Is a lot of that just guys trying to make a play or something, and then kind of playing outside of what you're supposed to do?
Yeah, or not recognizing a formation, or recognizing maybe a communication, or just getting out there and, you know, trying to survive rather than, you know, trust your preparation. You know, it sounds easier than it is. You know, and you get out there and you're out there on an island, and you put yourself on an island when you don't necessarily need to be, because you have help. And you know, like I said, some of that times that comes through experience, and you know, it comes with confidence. You know, as you become more confident in what you're doing, and to me, with what breeds confidence is great preparation. And you have to earn the right to play good on Saturday by how you prepare, not only physically but mentally during the week. And you know, you can't, you know, in this day and age of football, you know, in my opinion, you can't just go to meetings and go to practice and forget about it. There has to be some time when you know, you got to put your PlayStation down, put your phone down, turn the TV off, and go through your notes at night. That's how you earn it on Saturday. It doesn't just magically happen. It comes from hard work and dedication. And I'm not saying our guys aren't working hard and dedicated, but there is a extra level you need to go to be totally prepared, where you're confident, where you can play freely, confidently, and execute it at the level you need to execute.
Back to Westerkamp for a second. You talk about preparation. Can you talk a little bit about Jordan's just commitment to the craft of catching balls, the level of development he's had just even before he got here, and what he's continued since he's come here?
You know what? He played in a great program. His dad, who coached, I mean, the kid has been dedicated to becoming a great receiver for a long time. And I know that, trust me, when he's at home during the summertime, or he goes home and spends some time at home, I guarantee he's over there working, running routes and working on his trade with his dad, who is a receiver coach. And he does the extra. He always has. And he's a kid who gets every ounce out of his ability. He understands the little things. He catches the football well. He runs good routes. He's not perfect, but he's really into the details that allows him to get the most out of his ability.
Anything else from Coach?
Thank you. Thanks, guys.
And there it is, Bo Pelini, his weekly press conference here on the Doug and Daddy Show, getting ready for Northwestern, talking a variety of things. Of course, last year's Hail Mary comes up. Nebraska's come from behind win. Unbelievably, they were just down 12, got two touchdowns in the fourth quarter, which equaled the largest fourth quarter comeback in Nebraska history when they won 29-28. But the three meetings so far, Jimmy, since the Huskers have been in the Big Ten, have all been decided by 3 points or less. So the spread's 7. What do you think?
Well, I've always said I like Northwestern at home in this game just because of last year's Hail Mary. Nebraska seemed to forget about it. Even Bo Pelini made the comment, what did you think of last year's Hail Mary? And he goes, oh, we should have never been in this situation anyway. I would imagine if I was a Northwestern football player, every time I went to the weight room this year, at some point when I was doing some reps, and it was, the pain was there. I'm thinking, you know, I'd be going, what am I doing this for? Why am I doing this? I mean, I want to start. I want to do some other things. But one of those had to be for Nebraska. Yeah. You know, losing on a Hail Mary. So there's a tremendous amount of motivation that Northwestern has in this game. They're not talking about it. They're going to keep this quiet. It's going to be in their locker room only. They're not going to do anything they can to get Nebraska momentum. But when you win on a play like that, the other people are talking about revenge. And the only thing I can give you an example is, do we think Minnesota has a chance to come into Lincoln this year and win? Or is this a game that we think, hey, you know, we're going to get ready for Minnesota? You know, we've got some payback on Minnesota. This is the one team that we've got to get back, because they got us last year. And I think Northwestern feels that way.
Well, we're going to wrap things up. We'll talk a little bit more about the press conference here in a moment as Nebraska gets ready to take on Northwestern. Also, in case you missed it at the start of the show, next week's home game with Rutgers is set for 11 a.m. on one of the ESPN networks, hopefully not the U, so that everybody can see it without going through the hoops. Folks, you can always see your favorite games at the Kearney Chicken Coop, the original sports bar and grill, which brings you the best of both worlds. It combines the great food with the great atmosphere, and of course, you can have fun, play a little Keno, play the video games, play some pool downstairs. Outstanding. You can book it for a meeting, you can book it for a party, or it's open every other night for you, the family, the kids, the co-workers, the college group, whatever the case may be. And if you slide in for lunch on Mondays from 11 to 4, it's the steak sandwich on any side for $7.49. And every day during the week, it's happy hour from 2 to 5:30. Appetizer specials are 2 and a quarter. Long necks and draws, 2 and a quarter as well. So you're going in to watch Monday Night Football, you're going in to watch Major League Baseball playoffs, if it doesn't get rained out tonight, which it looks like it will. But hey, if it rains on the game, there's still plenty of fun at the Chicken Coop, and good food as well. Chicken Coop Bar and Grill, the best of both worlds in downtown Kearney. Back to wrap it up after this.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Convenient walk-in medical care.
Open when you need us.
Hastings Convenient Care.
No appointments necessary.
From sore throats to broken bones,
cuts, or illnesses.
Hastings Convenient Care is open when you need us.
Open 7 days a week.
Monday through Friday, 1 till 8. Saturday and Sunday, 11 till 5. Program the number in your phone so it's there when you need it.
402-463-6300. Visit online at hastingscare.org.
208 South Burlington, Suite 108, just south of the underpass.
The care you need at the time you need it.
Hastings Convenient Care.
I don't know if I can take another drought, Phil.
Well, Dave, I've been a channel seedsman for a while. I've seen a lot of tough conditions and even tougher farmers.
Conversations like this are happening in channel cornfields across America.
Hey, how about that? Corn stand green.
You know what? They're doing a whole lot more than that.
At Channel, we don't have salesmen. We have Channel Seedsmen, a trusted advisor who works with you to provide the right recommendation for your fields. Like Channel brand Genuity Drought Guard Hybrids. During challenging drought conditions, Drought Guard Hybrids adapt to drought stress and conserve soil moisture using available water more efficiently until the next rain.
That's hydro efficiency, right?
Right, and that means a better chance for yield at harvest.
Always read and follow IRM, grain marketing, and all other stewardship practices and pesticide label directions. Individual results may vary.
For year-round customized service and solutions, your local channel seedsmen are Jeff Westberg, Crops Unlimited, Shane Benfeld, and Adam Axtell. Or find one at channel.com.
Doug and Daddy's show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Time for our Midtown Mart cooler question. Midtown Mart of Hastings, home of the coldest beer and coolest topics. We asked you over the weekend which possible World Series matchup would you most like to see. No surprise, 78% would like the Royals to take on the Cardinals. Today, it comes up every time one of these happen, which isn't very often. You can vote on ESPNSuperstation.com. Should the NFL eliminate tie games? We had one yesterday between Cincinnati and Carolina, and it came up to a point that you brought up earlier that I don't think will ever happen, but it was only one possession for Carolina yesterday, right? Cincinnati got it twice. Carolina only had it once, and those first two possessions took nearly 12 minutes of the overtime, and I know Carolina had to make a decision there. It was 4th and 1. Do we kick the field goal and accept the tie, or do we try and keep going here and get the win, because they were definitely in chip shot field goal, anymore it's a chip shot field goal to tie the game, because Carolina wasn't going to get the ball back, and they didn't get the ball back. But what do you think, Jimmy? Do you eliminate? Do you play them out, or a tie is a tie?
I think a tie is a tie right now. I have no trouble with that. But my point was that if you're going to play by these rules and one team goes down and decides to kick the field goal, I think you can shut the clock off now. To make sure that other team has enough time to go down and kick a field goal.
Yeah.
I mean, so I guess, you can keep playing it. If somebody goes down and kicks a field goal at the 12-minute mark and then you kick a field goal at the 9-minute mark, now you're right into the overtime we were at anyway. So it's fine. But I definitely think that one team should get as many plays as it takes them to go down and sustain that drive. So if they play the 15 minutes, I have a problem with that more than I do the possessions.
Well, the funny thing is yesterday it came down to what the people were complaining about beforehand. They each kicked a field goal. Well, Carolina lost a coin flip. They're not going to get that chance.
Yeah, exactly. Right. So you're exactly correct.
I think there's going to be more tweaking, especially after an instance like yesterday. But I'm okay with the tie.
Mm-hmm.
I'm okay with the tie. We don't have ties in postseason. We got to get out of there. It's regular season. We've played for over 4 hours. It's time to move on. What do you folks think? Vote on our Midtown Mark Cooler question. Should there be ties in the National Football League? Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. What'd you take out of the press conference today, Jimmy? I know you were making some notes.
Well, the one thing I liked about Bo Pelini did today in the press conference, of course, you got to remember this is when things are calm, it's a Monday. I mean, the heat of the battle's not going on. But I always have felt that Doug, he stood up for the offensive line. He said, hey, sometimes it's just one guy. And let's really think about that. if a defensive player goes in there and sacks the quarterback, everybody's mad at the offensive line. Well, it might be that one guy got beat. You know, the other guys all got their guy and did the job. So they just, it's a correlation. Ah, the offensive line's not doing their job. The offensive line's not doing their job. But it was just one guy on that play. And, you know, I watched on TV this week, and I watched the Alabama game, and the Alabama went for it on fourth down and one and did not make it. And I did not like the way the coaches at Alabama yelled at their quarterback when he came off the sideline. The play was horrible. They ran a quarterback sneak. There wasn't one way, and there wasn't a player in the NCAA that could have got the first down on that call. And they're yelling at him, and I think there's sometimes when the sideline needs to be the one place when everybody else is booing you as a player. The sideline needs to be someplace that it's comfortable. It's kind of like your home. I mean, you know, you make a mistake and you did something that's obvious as a child. Hey, as parents, hey, you know, we're going to take care of this. We're all right. We're hanging there. Here's what we're going to do. We got to do some things. But if the kid knows he already messed up. I mean, if he broke a window, or if he, you know, backed the car into the garage, or, you know, I don't know if you have to go back there and show him, hey, you know, here's what you did, or here's what, you know, tell your daughter, hey, you got to do this, what's wrong with you, and et cetera, and be yelling at him. They already know, but this should be a place that it's a comfortable place. You got to go right out there again, and I need to go get you. You got to get something done for me and get some first down. So I want you to be comfortable when you come over the sideline. So I guess the point I like is Bo stuck up for the offensive line. These are my best five guys or my best seven guys that I'm playing, and he's stuck up for him, and he did it and said, hey, instead of going, hey, you know, he said, hey, sometimes it's just one guy getting beat, and I agree with that.
Also, Bo talked a lot about the punt return and why Nebraska is so much better this year, and as we always say, you can learn every day, and Bo's saying, I'm learning about this punt return deal. So they got that going. Talked about Nebraska playing at Northwestern a couple of years ago and the difference the crowd made. It was more of a home game for Nebraska than it was for Northwestern. And the stadium only holds 47,000 there, so it can get comfy and on top. It'll be a night game. And, of course, earlier this year, Pat Fitzgerald made reference to, let's make sure that that doesn't happen again. Let's buy up the tickets, especially for the Nebraska game. So we'll see how that all plays out as well. Talked a little bit about Tommy Armstrong handling any adversity that he may have, because he didn't have the greatest game against Michigan State. He made some big plays. It's kind of like the pass defense that they were talking about. They're, you know, he didn't have a great game against Michigan State, but he made some big plays, and he helped Nebraska stay in the contest, even though there was the pick at the end, which maybe wasn't totally his fault anyway. And you always like a bye week, but once that bye week rolls by, then it's like, as Coach started off by saying, man, I'm glad this bye week is over, and they got another one here in a couple of weeks.
Yeah, and, you know, I think with Tommy, if the thing I look back on, the biggest mistake he made, I think Nebraska runs it, they call it the zone read, you know, where they give the ball mm-hmm. to Doolin, and they kind of read it a little bit and see it's out of the backfield. It used to be the veer, you know, where you'd be right at the line of scrimmage and you could even pull the ball back. And I thought Tommy did a poor job sometimes in making decisions on when to pull it and take it, and he was giving the ball to Abdul a little too much. But, you know, I'm sure he's been told, if you're going to make a mistake, Abdul is not a bad guy to give the ball to.
Also, want to talk Husker football. Want to remind you that the TNL Harvest Special is going on right now. TNL Irrigation Systems are there for you if you're thinking about a new pivot irrigation system, changing what you have, or maybe you've just expanded your operation and you need one or two more out there. Now's the time to do it. The Harvest Special, $5 per foot discount, means you can save $6,500 when you buy a quarter-mile long TNL pivot. Decades of reliability with your TNL pivot system. And if you took a break from harvesting because of a little wet weather yesterday, maybe that you get your chance now to check out TNL for next year before you head back into the field. Visit their website, TLIRR.com. Call your local TNL dealer, or they would be more than happy to welcome you to the worldwide headquarters in Hastings. TNL Irrigation Systems, proven technology that works. Injuries over the weekend, and when it comes to this, you just kind of, it's hearsay a lot. I mean, on the pros and the college level, you know about it. But we cover a lot of schools around here, and obviously Kearney High, Kearney Catholic, Hastings, Adams Central, St. Cecilia. We're going to be in our town knowing more about it. But Kearney Catholic has lost most likely their top football player and their top volleyball player in 3 days. And they have been going very well. And congratulations to Grand Island Central Catholic, one of the very few upsets in football from around the area this weekend. And Blue Hill seems to be back on pace as well. But running back Nathan Howe broken leg, out for the season. Paige Herbert volleyball, torn ACL, as they get ready to open the conference tournament tonight. And we wish those kids and anybody else that has been dinged out, especially if it's their senior season, we want them to get healthy as quick as possible. But I hate seeing that. It just kind of makes your gut upset, your stomach upset.
Yeah, it does. And I, like I said, I just don't know how the extent of those injuries and what exactly is going to happen. But, I'm like you. I know those two kids from Kearney Catholic, and, boy, I feel really bad for them and their teammates.
And we mentioned at the top of the broadcast, because I know you like to know a little bit about investing. How'd you do in your picks? Well, did we get to that?
Yeah, no, we didn't. But here's what happened is
holy hell.
The public. Hey, now, Doug, when you look at that, remember I said – at the top, these are the underdogs, and I think the public is incorrect here. I'm going the other way. And I said, but on the bottom one, I said, I think the public might be right. What happened? The public was almost wrong on every game.
Wow.
Could look at that. Could see that.
All the underdogs you took?
You
won.
Every game there, the underdog came in. Of all the games I picked, the underdog came in except that Minnesota Northwestern, and I think the Giants and maybe somebody played Atlanta. No,
wow.
But the public was wrong in 11 of the 13 games that we talked about.
The six dogs, five dogs in Minnesota, you won them all.
Yes.
Middle Tennessee, Texas Tech, Arkansas, Duke, Texas, and Minnesota. And then the ones you were talking about as favorites, given points, Florida State, Clemson, Fresno, East Carolina, and
none of them covered.
Man.
See, that's why you bet the dog. We've been talking about it.
Wow.
Hey, what's really weird is, when I first started this show 2 years ago, I just said, hey, you know what you do? You always go against the public and you bet the underdog. Guess what? I mean, now after 2 years, I think I know what I'm doing. Just go back to what I used to tell you at the beginning. Bet the underdog and go against the public.
By the way, Floyd Mayweather's name comes up every once in a while with wagering. Guess which side of the Denver Jets game he was on yesterday.
I'm going to say he was on the Denver side.
Mayweather bet this amount of money on the Broncos to beat the Jets by more than 7.5, and he laid the -130 juice. He bet $815,000 and won $600,000 on the
interception
pick six, which was really meaningless in the final moments.
Not meaningless to him.
Jay Rood, who we've had on the show from MGM Grand, Mike Perenio's boss, quoted in the ESPN story, "The place went absolutely berserk. I kicked a hole in the wall. I'll leave it as a reminder of my feelings towards Geno Smith." They say it was a devastating blow for Vegas. Bo Pelini's press conference. We lost at Pigskin Pick'em this weekend, even though Jimmy went 7-3. Our caller Jeff went 8-2, so we'll start it again on Friday. Tomorrow, Daryl Morris, Tony Harper talking UNK and Hastings College football and a lot more. Don't forget our Husker lunch back at Cunningham's on Wednesday. Sean Callahan will be on hand talking Husker football, and we hope you can be there Wednesday. We'll see you tomorrow, Jimmy, later in the week.
Yep, take care. Go Royals.
You've been listening to a Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.